Well, goes well tonight.
Thank you, James. You have a good day, too.
Thank you. We'll be back with Morning Magazine coming up right here on... Oh, you know what? I like the way Pam says this. I'm going to go ahead and let her.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Russian President Putin says Russia is pulling out of the last remaining arms control treaty between the world's two main nuclear powers. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken responding to the report.
The announcement by Russia that it's suspending participation in New START is deeply unfortunate and irresponsible. We'll be watching carefully to see what Russia actually does. We'll, of course, make sure that in any event, we are postured appropriately for the security of our own country and that of our allies.
The treaty called the New START bans nuclear weapons testing. It has been in effect since the Cold War. In Poland, President Biden is meeting with NATO leaders discussing the Russian war against Ukraine.
I can proudly say that our support for Ukraine remains unwavering.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Warsaw. The president's remarks here come hours after Vladimir Putin delivered his annual State of the Nation address in Moscow. In a speech that ran nearly 2 hours, Putin railed against the West, accusing the U.S. and its allies of starting the war.
We were doing everything possible, really everything possible, to settle that problem by peaceful means.
The war against Ukraine is now entering its second year. Another earthquake has hit Turkey and Syria. It comes 15 days after a quake that claimed the lives of more than 44,000 people. Its latest quake was a 6.4 magnitude, much smaller than the first one. Turkey's Disaster Management Authority said today's quake killed 6 people and injured 294 others. It struck in the same area as the quake that hit previously. Rescue efforts from that quake have tapered off into recovery operations in several of Turkey's provinces. Reports out of rebel-held northern Syria have been less comprehensive. Brace yourselves. A major storm is coming.
A potentially historic snowstorm stretching from the Four Corners all the way into the Northeast today through Friday. It could actually drop up to 2 feet of snow in some places.
That's Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams. Health concerns continue in East Palestine, Ohio. CBS's Roxana Saberi reports.
A medical clinic is set to open in East Palestine, Ohio, where experts are expected to meet residents who have suffered a variety of health issues since a toxic train derailment earlier this month. Ohio's Governor Mike DeWine announced last week that the state would be opening the clinic, saying residents' concerns are legitimate, though he also said air and municipal water quality tests are so far coming back fine. Roxana Saberi, CBS News.
Today is Fat Tuesday. That means tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. This is CBS News.
Business owners, General Steel can help save you thousands by owning your own custom-designed buildings. Call 888-98-STEEL or visit generalsteel.com.
God, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Uma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Uma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
This week, Staples has deals so good, you're going to want to sit down. Are you sitting? I'll wait. Great. Right now during Staples Sit-a-thon, select chairs are up to 50% off, like the Union and Scale Essentials Mesh Back Task Chair. Now just $89.99 at Staples. You save $90. Plus, get 2 2-ounce bottles of Purell hand sanitizer free with the Staples Connect app. So take a seat or two right now at Staples, the working, learning, and saving store. Ends 2/18. In-store only. Purell limit 2 while supplies last.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 26 this afternoon, under mainly cloudy skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, snow likely 21. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 14.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 21st, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to talk with CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. Right now, we have in studio with us Sally Kistner, Executive Director of Save of the Arts. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
And we have Eric Brittenacher with the Performing Arts Center. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And joining us on the phone is Lindsay Deutsch from Take 3. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lindsay. Really appreciate the time. We're going to talk with Sally and Eric. I promise I will not spend the whole show talking to you. We know you're busy. We got a lot. You got a lot to do and everything. But I really do appreciate you joining us. I journalistically want to mention right away, I am a gigantic fan of you and your band, of your work. So there will be no integrity in this interview whatsoever. We're just going to have some fun.
Oh, I can't wait. Thanks for having us on.
Lindsay, I imagine you've been doing a lot of interviews. You've been doing this a long time, so most of your interviews probably start this way. I want to talk with one of the greatest violinists in our country, in the world, really, about racquetball. I want to talk about racquetball with you just for a good 20 minutes here. I'm joking, Lindsay. But for those that don't know, I did a little homework on Lindsay, and Lindsay, you won the gold medal in the World Junior Olympics for racquetball back in 97.
I did. I was a very serious racquetball player in my old life. And it's so funny that you bring that up, because that is like a different human from 20 years ago when I played racquetball. But I traveled all over the country, and we went to the United States Olympic Training Center in Colorado. And I had such a blast doing that. And I really think that that helped the musical side of myself, because we're performers, whether we're playing an instrument or whether we're playing a sport. You have to have your mental toughness. You have to be able to perform at a certain time. You have to be able to shake off something that doesn't go your way. And it wasn't until I was about 16 and had a knee injury that I gave up the racquetball altogether and just went full steam ahead with violin. But if you play racquetball, I'll challenge you to a little game.
I've never, I'm sorry that that happened to you. And at the same time, I've never been happier to hear about an injury, because I hate to think of you not picking up the violin. I did bring it up in part to kind of segue into my first question, because when it comes to racquetball or playing violin, that involves some heavy arm strength. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that you go from racquetball to violin. I think that that makes sense in some ways.
Well, to be clear, I actually started playing violin at 5 years old. Okay. When I was 2 years old, I saw Itzhak Perlman playing on Sesame Street, and I hope that everyone knows Itzhak Perlman. He's probably the most famous violinist for classical music that is around. And I, at that moment, when I saw him playing with Bird and Ernie, I felt this soul-stirring emotion within, and I knew right then that that's what I wanted to do. I knew that that would be my profession at 2 years old, and I begged my parents for a violin and finally got one at 5 years old, and then the racquetball came a little later at more like 8 years old. But you're right about the arm strength. It takes a lot of arm strength, not just to play violin in sports, but also lugging suitcases all around the earth. I think that, and you know, lifting them into cars constantly. So I do work out mostly to just lift my luggages around.
I've always loved the violin. I've loved string instruments my whole life. My mother believes that the reason I do is that exact story you were telling right there about Sesame Street. That's
were
kind
you
of funny.
Watching that show?
Yes. That's kind of funny to me. I did not know that about you. Nope. Being completely honest, I'll bring her on the air right now and tell you. And she's Jewish. So she doesn't lie. She just puts guilt. It's an interesting story. I usually ask musicians how you got started. What was the first instrument you picked up? I thought this was a more fun way of doing that, because I did happen to read that you were into these things before. You were into violin before playing a racquetball and that kind of thing. What brought you to the violin? What in particular about that instrument? Was it the story that you just told us, or what kept you playing it?
So my mother is a pianist, and she is a piano teacher and performer. And I think in her mind, she imagined that me and my sister would be concert pianists. But because of that program that I saw on Sesame Street, I really asked to not play the piano because I didn't feel that connection for whatever reason with the piano. And after hearing that It's Like Perlman play, there was something about the warmth of sound. There was something about the tone color. There was something about the fact that we have such a huge palette on the violin to play with that I didn't feel I heard as much with the piano. And so I was very much aggressive in my desire to play the violin and nothing else. But now looking back, I do regret not picking up the piano because, like in take three, we compose a lot of our own music, and it would be so helpful to have that piano background. So now I just work closely with, you know, our pianist and our cellist, of course, and we arrange a lot of our songs ourselves. But I've recently started singing more, and so for me, being able to play violin and sing and the occasional whistle and snapping is just a blast, being able to do that and have fun every single day on stage.
It shows. It shows. Watching your videos for years and so much of this, I'd never seen you not smiling or not enjoying yourself when it comes to performing.
You know, we do this every day. We have a show almost every single day. And people say, you know, is it tiring or exhausting? I have to be honest with you, 100% honest. There is never a moment that goes by when I'm performing on stage in front of a live audience that I am just not in my zone, in my element. I feel so blessed and lucky to be able to make money doing my passion. And I'm, you know, even though we've played this music, some of them hundreds of times, every night is different. The audience gives us and infuses us with their energy, and the energy between the three of us on stage, we're creating it live in the moment, bringing our passion for instruments and for this amazing music that we get to play, and doing it each night for a different crowd. That's just a dream come true. And I had tough moments in my career early on when the phone wasn't ringing and I was practicing for, you know, a few concerts here and there. When I graduated college, I really wanted to be a classical soloist and, you know, be the one that comes out and plays the concerto with the orchestra. And for the first 5 years after college, I really tried to do that. And, you know, there's like five of those guys that make a living at that. And so I wasn't able to do that full time, but I would be practicing 5 hours a day. And I realized at one point, you know, this just isn't working. What if I create a product? What if I think about my skill as a product? And how can I create something marketable that everyone, that every single human can enjoy? Because that's not the case with purely classical music. Not everyone is drawn to that. So that's where Take Three came in, and we were able to merge the classics with the pop, and that took off like wildfire right away. It was stunning to see. And so I don't take anything for granted that I have, because there was such struggle right after school. And so to have created something that people are really is resonating with, people that people love, that they there's a visceral reaction with Take Three, is so special. So we're very lucky to do this.
We're speaking with Lindsay Deutsch from Take Three, thanks to our friends at the Arts Council. And Lindsay's been doing this so long and so good at it, she answered my question before I could even ask it. I wanted to ask where you came up with the idea for the band, where this all stemmed from. It sounds like you were kind of like picking on that or touching on that a little bit.
You know, and I also have to mention that another influence for me was my work with Yanni. Shortly after college, I got a phone call from Yanni, and if you guys don't know, he's a Greek pianist / composer, and he's world famous. He's been touring for decades, and he was huge in the 90s, but he's still going. And he called and said he had seen me on YouTube, and even though I was purely classical at that time, he had a feeling that I would be perfect fit for the band. And he asked me if I would come audition in Saudi Arabia in 3 weeks, and if I could learn and memorize the whole show. But By the way, there's no written music, so I would need to completely learn the entire show by ear and memorize it. And at that moment, I thought I should just pass because I didn't know if I would be able to follow through with that and do what he was asking. But I said, well, sounds great. What's the most convenient airport over there in Saudi Arabia? And I go, and I'll never forget this moment because it was after this moment that I realized I needed to change paths. So it's the first concert, and it's time for my first solo, and I stand up, and I can't hear anything. I've got these in-ear monitors in, which are supposed to funnel the music into my ears, and I can't hear anything, and I think to myself, this is the beginning and end of my career as we know it. But then I keep playing, and I look over at Yanni, and he's smiling, and I look over at the thousands of people, and they're just screaming so loud that they're drowning out the sound into my ears of my own violin. So I keep playing, and during that, you know, 3-minute solo, I realized that that's what I want to do. I want to create something that receives that kind of response. And so I got on the, I got the job, but I got on the plane to go home, and I grabbed one of those tiny little napkins that they give you, and I started jotting down my first ideas of what would soon become Take Three. And that was the very beginning.
Very cool. Oh, I'm so glad you told that story. Oh, that was cool. As Lindsay mentioned there, she was Yanni's featured violin soloist quite a while. Along with some of that, Lindsay, what are some of the things that you learned working with an artist like Yanni, which I agree with all the things you said. I would just add also amazing hair.
Oh, yes, for sure. Thank you for asking this question because I owe a lot of what I'm doing to him and from watching him. If I had to choose one thing that I learned that really struck me with Yanni, he has a talent. He has a lot of talent. But from what I could see from playing with him every night, he has an unbelievable skill for reading an audience. It is a true sixth sense. And I could see the wheels turning each night. He, if he felt a lull or if he felt something from the audience, he would instinctually know how to kind of shift what he was doing to better entertain them. And I hope I'm describing that well because it was quite amazing to see. And I tried my best to watch that happen each night and to try to learn what exactly he was doing. And I hope that I've, from that, kind of developed my own sixth sense. And I hope that I can now read my audiences and instinctually know what needs to happen to make sure that this particular crowd in this particular moment is enjoying to the max. And that's, if I had to choose one thing, what was so stunning to see up close and personal with such a talent like Yanni.
That's really cool. We'll let you get out of here on this. Lindsay, do you have any pre-show rituals?
So we ask for the same food every day. Like I'm very physical on stage, and so I expend a lot of energy. So when I advance shows with presenters, they probably think I'm like 300 pounds because I'm always the first thing I ask them is as I go through my list of foods and exactly what time I have to eat, because for me, that fuel is a make or break. If I don't have the proper fuel at the proper time, I really can't do my best. So our ritual is to have fruit and pita chips and hummus and dips as soon as we arrive to the venue, and then a full meal 90 minutes before, and then just getting dressed together, putting on our makeup together, getting all of that. We come together 90 minutes before the show and just have a good time. It's very relaxed. Our performances are relaxed. It's not stuffy. You know, we just chat with each other in the audience during the show. And, it's all about the food for me.
That's awesome. Lindsay, before we let you go, I did want to mention the rest of the band, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, we have an amazing cellist. Her name is McCalla Schmitz. She is one of my best friends. She is my right-hand man, but she's a woman. And she's been with me day in and day out, nearly from the beginning. And so I just love her to death. She'll be with us. And then Tomomi Sato is our pianist. She's newer to the group. And she is absolutely fantastic, kind of a gem. I feel like I found this gem in the middle of sand, and it's Tomomi. And she has added so much energy and imagination to this group. She's really changed so much for the better, the way that we do things. And I love them both. And I get to see them both tomorrow as we start a different tour. But can't wait to be with you guys soon.
And we cannot wait to have you here, Lindsay. We are going to give you a full house, give you a really good crowd. I will be out there. I'll probably be the loudest one and embarrassing myself. But I cannot wait to have you guys in town here. And we're going to actually play some of your music and talk to Sally and Erica about the details of the show. Cannot thank you enough for putting up with me, the time. Thank you so much. We look forward to joining us here in town.
I had a blast chatting with you. Thank you for having us, and we'll see you very soon. Bye for now.
Hey, thank you, Lindsay. Thank you. Again, big shout out to Lindsay there for joining us. I want to thank Sally and Eric as well for humoring me and letting me ramble as much as I did with her and everything. But I do want to play a little of their music for the audience here real quick, and then we'll get into some of the details of the show. So just going to go ahead and play these back to back for you guys real quick. That is Lindsay singing, as she was mentioning to us in the interview there. She has started doing a little more of that. I wanted to give the audience a sample of it. Wonderful voice. I didn't get the chance to mention that to her in my ramblings, but a great voice. And it's really cool to hear her doing that, especially later in her career, where you don't see that happen very often. But just an incredible artist, and I really, really appreciate the time being able to talk with her and to let the audience know March 9th is when this show is happening. Let's get into the details of the show itself, Sally.
You bet. 7:30 March 9th. It's on a Thursday evening. Tickets are $30 for adults, $10 for students. We do have an outreach that day also, so we're encouraging students to attend as well. You can get your tickets at savorthearts.org 24/7 or give us a call Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at 715-424-2787 or stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Rapids.
It's really nice to have that for the students, for the kids, to be able to do that. Should parents know anything about that as far as do they need to register? Do they need to sign up for anything?
If they have any questions, we've approached several schools, so they can contact the schools or contact me directly at the Arts Council. We actually have a group coming down from D.C. Everest for cool. It, too, and they're staying for the show.
Very cool. Eric, when it comes to setting up for a band like this, it seems like, you know, we've asked you this question every guest that comes in, every act that comes in. Is there anything with this one that's a little different, or is it kind of similar to other ones that you've set up?
Well, being a three-piece, you know, the cello and the violin, you know, they tune themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just have to make sure that the piano is tuned, and it will be tuned in the morning. Otherwise, you know, I mean, beyond that, you know, this is a pretty simple show, all things considered. You know, we're going to spend time in the lighting, spend time on the essence of the music and the sound that we deliver to the patrons that are attending. Other than that, I think that, you know, this is going to be one of the easier shows as it relates to the amount of equipment and setup that has to be done.
Not to project, because I feel like I'm doing that a little bit here, but you seem like a details guy. You seem like a guy who pays attention to the details and they're important to you. When it's a simpler show like that, do you find yourself overdoing or wanting to overdo it and just like double check, triple check things? Or is it more, oh, I got this. This is good. I can go ahead and enjoy some of this now. I can actually have some. You don't get to do that very much with the job. You can do a little of that.
Well, certainly in a show like this, it's a great opportunity for our student technicians to, you know, have an easier show to sink their teeth into, where there's not, you know, 24 or 36 inputs that you're managing. You know, this is a matter of, you know, maybe 8 inputs. And by inputs, I mean, you know, microphones that are either on the piano or coming from the violin or cello. They provide a lot of that. We'll have a couple stage monitors, which are the speakers on the ground, the loudspeakers on the ground, so that the talent can hear themselves. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for some of my senior technicians to even run the music of the show, run the sound. You know,
nice.
I'll kind of be there over their shoulder to help get a mix in place. But I have one individual who's, you know, really all about, you know, mixing sound, and he does some studio recording himself in his bedroom. And on shows like this, I kind of like to let these kids run it, because where else are they going to get the opportunity? Other than right here in their own educational space. And that's part of why it exists, and I'm there to help diffuse any problems that might arise. But oftentimes, we get it set up, we get a good mix in place, and then I kind of step back and let them handle the show.
I graduated from Lincoln, and it was before the Performing Arts Center was built. And as a kid that loves entertainment, wants to be an actor, wants to get behind the camera and all this, I was lucky to have teachers like Mrs. Zai and video productions and these kind of things that really helped me along the way. I could have really used a guy like you, though. Like, as great as Mrs. Zai was, and there's no way I am where I am in my career without her. I would have loved to have been there when the Performing Arts Center was there. And I think about the kids getting to do this stuff, and the student outreach part of this is huge to me. As much as I love Take Three and I love this band coming to town and all these acts that do, the biggest thing to me is these student outreach things. And we talk about them, and I'm glad we do, but I hope we mention enough the work that you're doing with these kids too, Eric, and the student outreach that you do in that sense, where they're getting a chance to do some real-time stuff that, whether they take it on as a career and go and do this stuff in other cities and for other works or anything like that, that's all well and good. The confidence that they're building in this, they can take that into any field. They can take that in any job. And I really feel like as adults, one of our jobs is to give children a confidence any chance we can. Any opportunity we have to build them up a little bit, let's do it. I read this once, they're taking over one day. They are the future. So it doesn't seem like a bad idea to build up their confidence and make them feel stronger about things that they're doing in life. It's a win-win for all of us.
Yeah, you see these kids grow, you know, from whether they start as freshmen or sophomores or even juniors. You see their confidence build, but you also see them taking risk in their own lives. And by risk, I mean, you know, somebody's like, oh, you know, can you do some video production for me? Or can you, you know, be a photographer? And they're not so scared of it. And they're, you know, they're willing to take it on, and they're actually making money doing that. And, you know, they're kids. And,
yeah.
There are people out there that need this sort of help and support because they don't know how to do it themselves. They don't have the time. They don't have the experience or the equipment. And being able to provide that to these students and then seeing them be successful out in the community in various ways, yeah, it's enriching. It certainly is. And there's nothing like it when you get a kid who is bit by the bug and then takes it to the next level on their own accord. Mm. Not me pushing them into it. They're out there, you know, pounding the pavement, finding jobs, and people are finding them because they know of their skills. And so that's really cool.
Yeah, that is. Sally, all I want to do is focus on Take Three, the performance coming up March 9th, but we do have another performance in March coming up. I did want to let the audience remind them about, especially because it is one of our favorite acts.
We do have one more on March 24th. Chris Cruzy is coming to town with his full band and the acoustics at the Pack. I know a lot of people have heard him in bars and in different other situations, but at the Pack, it takes it to another level.
The acoustics in there, all of the surround, I mean, it's what it's built for.
Exactly.
A guy acts like that and everything. So you are so darn right about that. And I'm glad that you mentioned with his band, too. I think Chris has joined us here in town, like you mentioned, at bars and different things. And a lot of times it's just him and his guitar. It's kind of fun to have the whole act there and to give him a really nice stage. And we want to make sure to give him a great crowd. And we want to give Take Three a great crowd. Sally's going to help us do that. She gave us a pair of tickets to give away. We'll give those away sometime this week or next week. We'll see. But I usually like to lead right up to the show and everything, just make it a little more entertaining. It's fun. And I promise not to keep myself. I promise. I promised Sally and Eric that I wouldn't do that. So we're going to make sure to do that right. But do want to mention before we let you guys go, some sponsors that help us do this. If you want to, Sally, I didn't know if you want to mention these or not.
Absolutely.
Aaron and G, Herman's Plumbing and Heating and Point and Plover Publication. And of course, let me see, WFHR and WRI. They sound like nice people.
They
sound like
nice
people right there.
Yep.
A big shout out to everybody that helps us bring these acts in the town. Are you, I know you're a bit, Sally. You're already working on next year, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I bet you are. I hope it's going well. And you know, as we're kind of getting closer and closer to the end of the season here, I just wanted to thank you. Thank Eric. You guys do such great work bringing these acts to town, hosting them, giving them all the things that they need to be able to do what they do and to perform and entertain for us. It's one of those things that I don't think we get to give enough credit to as often as we'd like. So appreciate you. Thank you so much for the great work. And thank you so much for... I got to play a little Lindsay as we go out here, but it just was fun.
You're drooling a little bit.
I'm a little bit.
You might want to wipe that up.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. Before Terry gets in here and makes fun of me, I should do that. We're going to actually let Lindsay play us out here. But again, Sally, Eric, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, James.
You bet.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 26 this afternoon, under mainly cloudy skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, snow likely 21. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 14.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this February 21st, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James, and I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Are you feeling a little older today?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, I am.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate that, and appreciate you joining us today. And we put our serious hats on so
yes,
we can talk
indeed.
About good, important stuff that the United Way is up to. But there's so much going on over there, I didn't know where you might want to start.
Yeah, there is a ton going on right now. So we really, I guess, you know, looking kind of at some things that have already happened, you know, recently, yeah. Ben from our team was at the River Kings. So that was really fun, you know, was there to help kick off one of those games. And his son got to do the little puck drop. So that was cool. Helps build awareness, you know, just maybe in some audiences that we don't normally connect with. So that was really good. We also hosted last week on Wednesday the Finance and Investment Challenge Bowl. And so this is a event that falls in our financial stability area and really around high school teams competing on what they know, how much they know about mm-hmm. finances. So it was really awesome. We hosted at Mid-State Technical College. It is in partnership with a company called Asset Builders, and they host these events all around the state. But there has to be a local champion, right, to you know, do the kind of on the ground work and make things happen. And so we actually had 24 teams from local high schools who participated. And that's really awesome. You know, it's a bracketed tournament, and kids are learning a lot while they're, you know, while they have lunch. They hear a little bit from Mid-State Technical College, and you know what's available there. But then also, you know, I think it's done differently in each school. We had seven different districts represented in those 24 teams, and you know how you get to be one of the four people on a team. Mm-hmm. I think it is handled a little bit differently at each school, but you know, so there's a little bit of lead up into it, and it's just really exciting. So our top two teams, so the champion and the first runner up, who was Spash and then Amherst, the team from each of those schools gets to advance to the state tournament in cool. May. So yeah, wow, it's cool. a neat opportunity for kids, and the thing that's really awesome too is it brings together a lot of the local financial institutions because they helped sponsor the event. Mm-hmm. And in addition to sponsoring, they also provide volunteers to help out with the competition because there's a judge in each room. There's someone reading the questions. You know, it's a really neat showing for these kids. So that was something awesome that happened last week. And then, you know, kind of things that are just going on right now, we have our Cabin Fever Challenge. Mm-hmm. And this is for the month of February, and there's still February left, you know. And if you were holding out to do something snow related, well, you know, you're going to get an opportunity.
You're gonna get that chance.
So, Cabin Fever Challenge is a bingo style card challenge, I guess, out to the community, designed probably mostly for kids and their caregivers. So, it's a family kind of oriented event, and we really just ask for individuals or families to come up, do five different activities, right? So you create a bingo on your card, and then you mm-hmm. submit that back to us at United Way. So these could be, we use the, you know, the headings instead of bingo, we use cabin, C-A-B-I-N. Mm-hmm. And so like C is community. So doing something in the community so you can look at our list, and we have got a really extensive long list on our website.
Yeah.
You can look at our list and select something, or you can just do something, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be our idea. Your idea is great. Mm-hmm. Engage your kids or grandkids and say, you know, what idea do you have around N is try something new? So maybe they have an idea. Maybe you, you know, cook something together or bake something together. Or I would find this a little bit hard to believe, but maybe if they're little, they've never made a snowman. So mm-hmm. maybe you make a snowman this week, you know, or something like that. But it's just the idea of being active, being engaged, and spending time with your family in whatever way that's meaningful to you, right? So for some people, active might be the Birkebeiner. Yeah, and yeah, for others, yeah, it might be going out to get the mail. you know, whatever it means, it's just the idea of intentionally engaging. Yeah. And then we've got some really cool gift baskets. So we'll just draw, you know, do a drawing from those that were submitted. There's an opportunity for a classroom pizza party. Mm. So encouraging teachers to get their, you know, their students and families involved. So this is something that I believe this is the fourth year that we've offered the Cabin Fever Challenge. Yeah. Was 1 year before right before COVID. So this might be the third, because that COVID starting in March throws me off, right?
I hear you, yes.
So we did it that year, 2020. And then we also did it in 21, 22. Mm. Oh, mm. So 23, yeah. 4 years.
Yeah, it is 4 years.
Okay,
yeah.
See? Not yeah. losing it
you
after
were
all.
Right. You were right.
So it's just, again, a good way to get people engaged. So that is happening now.
With something like that, look, the United Way, the gift baskets and all that, the sponsors and the people that put those together do such great jobs. And those are, I don't want to make light of those at all. But so much of this to people listening, maybe if you haven't started up the Cabin Fever Challenge, you're like, oh, there's only 6 or 7 days left. It's nice to fill out the bracket. It's nice to get the bingo and everything. It's so much more about doing stuff with your family, doing stuff with the kids. And honestly, a kind of built-in excuse to do those things.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, we got to do the bingo. We got to, you know, yeah. do this. And kids, whether they realize it or not, want these things, too. Every day, whether we like it or not, our kids are getting closer and closer to adulthood and getting out of the house. And while some of us, some people out there may be really excited about
well,
that.
Well, we say that, we but, say you know, it, but then the you
moment,
get there.
Yeah, the moment they're out, you're like, no, I didn't want that. Wait, this happened way too fast. I was just changing their diaper. I was. These are opportunities. These are memories that you're building. And is there anybody out there that can have too many? Oh, you know what? I got too many memories. I don't
right?
need any more.
No. I've done too much fun stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just it's win-win, right?
Yes.
It's awesome. So, and again, we have a huge list on our website of ideas if you need them. Because sometimes you just sit there and go, not really sure what we would do.
Yeah.
So other things that are happening right now, we have My Free Taxes. So My Free Taxes is an opportunity to file your taxes free or at very low cost, depending upon how much income that you had and depending upon what level of tax preparation you need, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's basic, you got a couple of W-2s and you can you can do it all from your you can do it from your computer, but really even cooler, you can do it from your phone. Yeah. So it is completely mobile friendly. So if you'd like access to that free tax opportunity, you can visit our website at uwswac.org. It's a partnership that was leveraged between United Way Worldwide and the tax preparation company happens to be Tax Slayer right now. Sometimes it changes, sometimes it doesn't. But I know that it is user friendly. It's pretty easy, and if you do end up having a cost, it's low. But for the most part, it is a free service. Yeah. And so you know, something that we want to offer to members of our community, especially when we think about ALICE families and families who fall in an income threshold that they're doing fine, but you know, why take $200 out of your budget to have tax preparation done when you can actually have it done for free through this community service?
It's one of those people who falls into that category. I've been using My Free Taxes for the last three tax seasons, I believe, and I went into it in part because every penny counts for people like myself. As you mentioned, the ALICE groups
Absolutely.
And stuff. And it shows the insightfulness of the United Way, that it's not just about the big topics and the big things. It's that gray area stuff that can, you know, lead into our, well, we had to get less groceries this month because we had to pay for our taxes.
Yeah, because it has to come from somewhere, right?
Right. Yeah. Things like this go so much farther than I think people who don't have to do this stuff realize. But it is huge for a lot of us. And it goes a long ways. And for the record, this is one of those things where it's so basic. It really, I mean, I can do it. If I can do this, and it's been about 4 years that I've done this, and so far the IRS, not coming after me. Seem okay. Seems like it's all right.
I have heard they're shorthanded, but
That's true. They're not.
Just easy.
They could not make this easier for you. Everything on your W or on your taxes, when you get them, it's labeled, it's numbered. It's basically just, you know, number to number. It's putting this into this, putting the information. I think one of the bigger things you have to do is take a photocopy
and then
of
put
it.
A picture in. Yeah,
that's it. That's the big deal. That's the heavy lifting you've got to do with something like this.
Yeah, so it is. It's a great opportunity. If it matches your needs and if it will help you, help you save some money, then hey, we're all for that. Other things that we have going on with United Way right now. This is also application time. Mm. So partner programs in the community, agencies in the community who are interested in having a partner program funded by United Way. They have the calendar month of February is the application time frame. So the deadline is next Tuesday, the 28th at 4 p.m. to have an application submitted. And again, this is not for individuals who might need assistance. This is for programs. So just one example, we help to fund 29 programs in the community. Just one example would be the Boys and Girls Club, right? So if the Boys and Girls Club is looking for program funding for United Way to help support their efforts in what they are doing, they have to fill out the application and get that into us by February 28th. So they know that, right? That's a good reminder to our existing partners, but there could be future partners out there who are listening. Or sometimes we fund a program at an agency and they have another program that might fit into the fold of United Way funding. So one agency could have multiple programs that get funded. The one thing that we don't do is we don't just fund an agency. Like we don't just say, okay, ABC, you need $40,000. Okay, here you go. Use it as you best see. We instead say, well, what is the program? You know, tell us what program. Tell us where it fits in the agenda for change of United Way. So then they might say, well, it fits in health. Okay. And then they have to tell us, so what strategy area, but then what are the outcomes? What can they, what will they measure to show that they're helping to move the needle on the health of the community? So there is some accountability to it. And then partner programs, if they get funding, they report back to us quarterly. And so, you know, that's the, again, the accountability piece, but it's also where we can celebrate a lot of successes, which is really fun. And also maybe identify some challenges, because sometimes we can help solve those challenges, or we can partner an agency up with another agency who had a similar challenge, or, you know, there's just a whole variety of things that small quarterly report can do to help a program really be successful in the community. So applications are due at the end of the month, and then we actually have a panel of volunteers that they read all of the applications. They form questions that they might have from that application. They have an opportunity to go visit the program in person. And then in April, at the end of April, those programs that have met the requirements to that point are invited to come and do a face-to-face presentation. So they come and talk to those volunteers about, you know, why they should be funded, what is the impact, again, those things that I talked about, what is the impact they're making in the community, and then how does it tie back to the United Way goal for the community. Then they make funding recommendations to our board. So it's an involved process. It's very thoughtful and deliberate, and, you know, I think, and it has to be, right? Like, we only raise so much money in the fall campaign, and we need to make sure that the dollars are going where they're greatest needed in the community.
I could see some people maybe hearing that and thinking, well, my program's not big enough, or I don't know if I'm the type of program they're talking about. Are there examples? You mentioned the Boys and Girls Club, things like that.
So, and to that point, when you talk about size of program, so we fund programs anywhere from $60,000 a year all the way down to, I think our lowest one is $750 a year.
Cool.
So, I mean, there's a huge, huge wide variety. So some of the other programs, so we have in our education area, we have a program through Child Caring, which is for provider recruitment and retention. And that's really about making sure that the child care providers in the community have what they need to be able to be successful and hopefully not close, right? Stay open and make sure that we have childcare opportunities. So that is one. In the youth success area of education, we have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Club. We have an after-school program down in Adams Friendship. In our financial stability area, again, Child Caring has another program. So that's two programs, one agency, and that is a scholarship aid program for families receiving child care. In the health area, we have the YMCA, we have Career Closet, we have several senior citizen clubs, local clubs. We have Association for All Handicapped Citizens, Park Place, Faith in Action, which serves Adams County. They have two programs. We also have the YMCA in Adams County. And then we have Safety Net Service, so then food and shelter. So kind of the usual that you would think of. Of course, when we think food, we think Focus. We have three programs at Focus that we help to fund: the pantry, the community meal, and then also the backpack program. We have the backpack program in Nacoosa. And then we have in shelter, we have the Family Center for their shelter program, and then North Central Community Action for eviction prevention and rental assistance. And then there is a similar program to that that serves Adams County. So we have the Adams County Food Pantry, and then we also have the Adams County Rental Assistance Program as well.
We're speaking with CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. We are going to take a very quick commercial break, come back, and have some more conversation with Terry and our friends at the United Way here at Morning Magazine on WFHR.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 26 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 21 cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR for this February 21st. Terry Johns and James here with you. Terry, of course, you're CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. One of the events coming up with the United Way is Power of the Purse. Wanted to start there.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So Tuesday, March 14th is Power of the Purse, and this is a event for, well, it's geared at ladies. I mean, I can't say we've never had a guy show up, so I'm not saying we would turn him away.
Sure.
But that's, I'm just saying who it's geared for.
Sure.
The idea is it is a handbag silent auction fundraiser. It takes place at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 until 7:30 on, again, Tuesday, March 14th. The posters, if you see them around, it says hors d'oeuvres. It's kind of a lie. It's a pasta bar. So, I mean, like you get some good, robust food.
Yes.
if you so choose. And the ticket price is $25 in advance, $30 at the door. And that what that gets you is, again, entry, gets you food, a lot of great socializing, networking. And gets you access to 26 really awesome purses.
Mm-hmm.
And those are being, it is a silent auction. So you walk around and, place your bids on these items. And then we also will have four purses that will be available online in advance of the event.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be online auction for the week prior. Oh, not quite a week. Maybe like the Friday prior.
Yeah.
But for a few days, a good handful of days prior, mm-hmm. that will go live. And then maybe if you can't make the event, you could bid that way. And then that bidding will close the same as the live event. So that'll everything closes at 7 o'clock mm-hmm. on Tuesday. And then we, award those purses. Other things that are really cool that happen that night is you get an opportunity to there is no, I guess one thing, because this sometimes comes up, people want to know, there is like no program, right? So we're not up there until the end when we're like, okay, this purse was bidder number 17, and then that person, we do that kind of thing. But you have an opportunity to learn more about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and this is where the majority of the funding from Power of the Purse goes. This is a program where children from birth to age 5 receive a free book in the mail every month, thanks to Women United. And Women United is who is hosting this Power of the Purse event. So as long as the child resides in Southwood County, so the zip codes of Rudolph, Vesper, Port Edwards, Nakusa, or either Wisconsin Rapids zip code, if the child resides there, they are eligible for this program. We have plenty of openings. So if you know a child that's between birth and age 5, and I will say if they're getting really close to 5, it takes almost 3 months to get somebody going on, when they sign up, and by the time the Dollywood Foundation pulls it. So if they've gotten to be like 4 3/4, we probably can't get them in. But if they're less than 4.5,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I would really encourage you to get those children signed up. They are fabulous books. and they're all different, right? So you could, in theory, have a 60-book collection.
Yeah.
By the time that the child turns five. And again, Women United's focus is literacy. I mean, it is early grade learning, literacy, making sure that kids are proficient. And a really big way is making sure that they have books. So when you come to Power of the Purse, you can learn about Imagination Library. There's always a display and information about that. You can learn about potential membership in Women United, and then also our Reading Mentor program. So we have Reading Mentors currently at Humke in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and then at Washington. Oh, we actually have a couple of mentors out at Grant. So we have one more school than that. So Washington, Grant, Meade, and Grove. So, you know, we have mentors that are going in and working with kids. And this is really what Power of the Purse is funding. Mm-hmm. So at the event, you can learn about those things. Bullseye always does a fun signature drink for us. So, nice. And then they donate a dollar back of that, you know, to, so last year we made almost $100 just on that, you know, so that's awesome. And then we have, and then we have some raffles. So, you know, if you're kind of like, well, I don't know if I really want to go buy a purse, but come with your friends anyway, because it's fun and it's a great, I mean, the venue couldn't be better. The view couldn't be better. Mm-hmm. And the food is fabulous. And if you are not interested in necessarily bidding on a purse, we have some raffles. So we have a raffle that's going on now for people who maybe can't attend the event that you don't need to be present for. And then the day of, you can buy raffle tickets, and we've got three different options. You can drop the tickets in whichever thing that you think you want to win. So it's a awesome event. I can't say enough about it, and I can't say enough about our sponsors. Like, you know, that's how this happens, right? Local businesses sponsor a purse. You know, we buy and gather up all the purses and then make this event happen.
When we first started talking and you co-hosting with us and everything on the morning show, one of the earlier things I remember, it was right around this time of year, I want to say, because this was coming up and talking about the Imagination Library and the idea of that. As somebody who came from not having like more than three or four books growing up and rereading them and everything, and then looking at you know, all the different schools I was in and how trouble I still to this day have with reading, you can't help but think, well, I look at my sister and she had more books, and Jillian loves reading and she's really, really good at it. Well, it doesn't take a lot of work to realize, well, that probably helped her with that.
Sure.
And it goes so much farther for these kids. And there's not a child, like, hopefully most people out there listening, your kids, great readers. They could always be better.
Absolutely.
And even if it's not about them being better at it, they could always use more books. They could always use more options. I mean, kids, like, we all understand how quickly they get bored of things. So, I mean, you know, having more books isn't a bad thing.
And books are pricey.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so it's I don't know. It's just a win-win. Like, there's no downside to this program at all. So, but again, the way that we pay for the program is through, you know, through the Women United membership, and then also mainly through Power of the Purse. So we encourage people to join us again March 14th. That's a Tuesday at Bullseye Golf Club. We do sell tickets. We are selling tickets now, so you can purchase those on our website. You can stop by the United Way office. If you wait till day of, they do go up $5 in price. So you know, if you know you're coming, get them in advance. $25. And again, just encourage people to do this. And you know, if you're listening, guys, buy them for your wife and her.
Yes.
Buy two, one for your wife and her friend. Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just a great time. And really just celebrating youth, celebrating reading, celebrating just, you know, spring.
Right. Yes. Well said. When you're purchasing these purses, whether it's you or you're buying it for somebody else, you can also carry with that, hey, it's not just a really nice purse. You put into the youth of our country here. I mean, that's pretty cool. It's not just that. It is also this that comes with it. And every time you're using that purse, that'll pop in your head or can pop in your head. It's just such a win-win, as you said.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we've got one of the members of our Women United committee. She or the Power of the Purse committee of Women United. She kind of always does our theme, and so she picked an Italian theme this year.
Ah.
So she's got some fun stuff. So
nice.
The decor will be as such. So, you know, that just makes it fun too.
Yeah. All this again is taking place on March 14th, 5 to 7 over at Bullseye Golf Club. Be sure to mark that on your calendars, get those tickets early, and a big shout out again to Bullseye Golf Club. Do such a nice job hosting these events. Did you mention the calendar raffle?
No,
I
didn't.
Mention
yep.
That real
so
quick.
We also have a calendar raffle that will be coming up in the month of April. We are selling tickets now for that raffle. And if you're not familiar with the calendar raffle, this is where we draw, you purchase purchase a ticket, we draw a name every day, every for us, every business day of the month of April. And you can win that prize. And it's just that easy. So tickets are $10 each or three for 20. So for 20 bucks, you get three tickets in the drawing. We're giving away $2,000 cash in the month of April. So that's super fun. Mm-hmm. And if you get drawn, you know, let's say right away, the first day your name gets drawn. And the first day, I think it's $200 is the first prize.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And so if you get drawn, your ticket goes back in. So your ticket doesn't even stay out. Tickets go back in.
Terry, this is live, okay? You can't take that back. Are you sure you want to do that?
Telling you.
All right.
So if you buy three for 20, you've got three chances in there for every single drawing, right? Like not just for, not if you've been drawn. So it's a really fun opportunity, a way for us to help close a little bit of a gap of, you know, for campaign. We have a potential to make, you know, a few thousand dollars on it. And all of our dates were sponsored. So that $2,000 that we're giving away is not any of the money that we're raising by selling the tickets. So whatever we raise from ticket sales is going right toward all of those programs that we talked about 27 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, you know, I think that that's really important that people know that when you throw in 20 bucks and take a chance on winning, that is all going directly into community programs.
And I'm looking at this and I see all these local businesses, all businesses that I love going to, and this thank them all for putting into their community the way they do, because this is an investment. When we're talking about Power of the Purse or the calendar raffle, the Cabin Fever Challenge, all this stuff leads back to you investing in your community and putting some time and energy into it, sometimes some finance in behind it. But not everybody can do that, so we do know that everybody can usually volunteer, and do always like to remind everybody as we wrap up the conversation that there are plenty of volunteer opportunities out there for you. You can always call 211 for those.
Absolutely, and connect with Ben at the United Way.